In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today I would like to speak to you about the queenship of Our Blessed Lady. Our Lady is truly and properly a queen. That is, truly and properly, not merely as a figurehead, but with royal power in the heavenly court. However, she is not a queen essentially, but only by participation. For only God rules by essence, and that is true of all authority. Only God has, by essence, authority. And the authority of any creature derives his authority from God. And St. Paul says that explicitly. And that is why it pertains to the natural law that authority be obeyed. Because authority is not simply a human thing. It does not come from having the most power or the most money. It comes from God. And it is therefore the natural law that authority should be obeyed. For all creatures have a dependence on God, and it is this dependence on God which is the basis of our obedience to Him and our obligation of obedience. And Our Lady is queen subordinately to her Son. This is true of all the things you could say about Our Lady, that she has nothing apart from her Son. And she would be the first to say that because she is the most humble of all of the saints of God, more humble than anyone except our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And she would be the first to say that she is nothing without that which she has received from his perfection. Now, our Lord is king, first of all, by his divine nature, from the fact that he is creator of all things, he is king. But he is also king in his human nature, having been constituted king in his human nature by God over the entire universe. And so she participates in his royalty because she was the instrument of his becoming the king of the entire universe also in his human nature. She was the instrument of the incarnation. Our Lady's queenship is attested to by the teaching of the Church. Many popes have spoken about it, especially Pope Leo XIII in the last century. And many fathers and theologians of the early church and the Middle Ages have spoken about it. And the sacred liturgy speaks about it, which is the most efficacious teacher of all. For we say, Hail, Holy Queen, to our Blessed Lady in the prayer after Mass. We also say the Regina Caeli, Queen of Heaven, Rejoice. And we say the Ave Regina Caelorum, Hail, Queen of Heaven. And we say her litany, in which she has many titles of queen. And these approved prayers show the faith of the Church in the queenship of our Blessed Lady. And there are theological reasons. The first is Mary is the mother of Christ, who, as God and man, is king. Our Lord is the king by his hypostatic union, by that union, that grace by which his sacred human nature is attached to God, the Son. But Our Lady participates in the dignity of the hypostatic union since she is his mother. Usually it happens that the son is royal because the mother or the father, or both, are royal. But in this case, the mother is royal because the son is royal. And the reason for that is that he is superior to her. He is the fountain of royalty and authority. it is not possible that she could have something that he does not have. And so she becomes the queen because he is the king. Mary also is queen because she is the mother and helper of Christ the Redeemer. Our blessed Lord is king not only by title of his attachment in his sacred human nature to the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but also by a special title of being redeemer of the human race, of being victor in the battle over against Satan and the battle that has taken human beings away from their slavery to the devil and to sin. And because our Blessed Lady was an associate, an intimate associate of our Blessed Lord in this act of redemption, she too participates in this victory and in the crown of the victory. She is, in that sense, co-redemptrix of the human race. She is the helper of Christ in the work of redemption. And so Our Lady, by her participation in the Passion, by her humiliation, by her passion, and her interior death with Christ, is also raised up to a position of dominion over men as well as over angels. Furthermore, Mary has a special relationship to the three divine persons. Mary is the firstborn and specially loved daughter of God the Father. Now, just as Christ, the Son of God, has a right to his Father's heredity, so it is fitting that Mary also receives this heredity subordinately to Christ. So because of her special position as the daughter of God the Father, she receives the royalty of God the Father, the authority of God the Father, in a participatory manner and in subordination to her Son, who is Christ. Now, it is true that we are all children of God, but she was a child of God in a most special way because she was chosen to be the instrument of the Incarnation. Secondly, her Son is king, and as I said, she receives the royalty of her Son. And thirdly, she is the spouse of the Holy Ghost. But we know that spouses share all things. And because the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, he has the royalty of God. He has the authority of God because he is God. And as spouse of the Blessed Virgin, as spouse of the Holy Ghost, the Blessed Virgin Mary enjoys the same authority and royalty as the third person of the Blessed Trinity in a subordinate way. Now, Our Lady exercises her rule with her Son, primarily internally, as she is the mediatrix of all graces. She is, in a sense, the manager of the grace of God. She distributes the grace of God. She is a queen with an authority of mercy. It is one thing to obtain the grace. It is one thing to produce the grace. It is another thing to dispense it, to bring it to us. Just as the father of the family might bring home the food, might provide the means for the children to be fed, it is another thing for the mother to take the food and put it into the mouths of the little babies, to dispense it to them and to give it to them. That is properly her role. And so our Blessed Lady does this with the grace of God. She is the cause by which all graces are dispensed to men. So she is not the cause of their obtaining the grace or their having the grace, but she is the cause of its dispensation, of its delivery, of giving it here and now to this person and to that person. And so you see the extent of her authority and how she helps in the application of the redemption of Christ, and why we go to her with such confidence, why she has the place of such honor in the intercession that we seek before the throne of God. She has the function of ordering the human race through grace and charity to a common end. And that is the proper function of authority, to bring the community to its proper end. And our Blessed Lady, by dispensing grace, brings the church to its proper end, and that is the glorification of her Son and life eternal. And that's why we go to her instinctively. I read a very interesting book yesterday on chaplains in the Civil War. And this was a priest who was a member of the Congregation of the Holy Cross, who later became the rector of Notre Dame University. And he was a chaplain in the Civil War. And he said that it was common for the soldiers in general, when they were dying, to speak about their mothers, how much they loved their mothers as they took their last breath, which was very interesting. But he was the chaplain to the Irish regiments, who at that time were the only Catholics. They put all the Catholics together, and there really were very few other Catholics in this country at the time. And he was chaplain to them, and he said the Irish, and that is the Catholics, would, in their dying breath, not invoke their natural mothers, but they would invoke the Mother of God in order that they have a holy and blessed death. They ask the Mother of God that she assist them to die well, which I think is a beautiful and moving thing, that the Catholic would think first of his mother in heaven, even before his mother on earth. Saint Athanasius said, "If the Son is a king, the mother who begot him is rightly and truly considered a queen and sovereign." Saint Bernardine of Siena said, "No sooner had Mary consented to be the mother of the eternal Word than she merited by this consent to be made the queen of the world and of all creatures." And Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, the great herald of the Blessed Virgin Mary, said these words, "Let us cast then ourselves at the feet of this good mother, and embracing them, let us not depart until she blesses us and accepts us for her children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen."